This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
Hello and welcome to Betting Weekly, the English Championship show on the Bet Rivers Network. I'm your host, George Ellick, and I'm joined, as I am every week, sometimes even twice a week, by Jack Wright as we look ahead to this weekend's fixtures in the EFL, namely the Championship, and then we'll have a look into League One and League Two. Jack, how are you doing?
I'm very well, mate. Thank you. Yeah, how are you doing?
I'm okay. Yeah, I'm good. I'm off to America tomorrow. So off to the land of where the land of Bet Rivers, the land of where most of our viewers and listeners will be tuning in from.
Very nice indeed. Can't be bad.
Should be okay. So I'll be I'll be waking up on Saturday morning and the Norwich Sunderland game, the early kickoff would have already finished, I think, by the time we get there. So looking forward to it. Any big plans for you?
No, very quiet one this weekend. I was going to go up to the to that particular game, but I'd have to leave like 3 days before it started. So I decided to knock that one on the head in the end. But I say it's on TV, so I won't miss out. I'll be able to cheer on a bet if we have one in that particular game.
Ooh. Spoiler alert, I have
giving
one.
Anything away.
I have one, so we'll get on to that later. Before we get into our picks, do check out the Twitter handle at Because We Win. This is managed by all the different sports handicappers on the Bet Rivers Network. And you can find my handle and Jack's handle up there as well. So do go and check that out and follow that on social media. And a reminder that you can find all the other Bet Rivers content on the Bet Rivers Network YouTube channel. So do check those out and comment and subscribe and the rest of it and all the podcast providers as well. Let's get into our picks then, Jack. And you to go first. We've got three picks each from the Championship. And I'll give you the first pick now.
Thank you very much. Okay, well, I'll say a fantastic time to subscribe, first of all, is because of this time of year now is absolutely bonkers, isn't it? We mentioned that sometimes twice a week. Well, we've got that coming up now, midweek. So we go Saturday, Tuesday. Obviously got the transfer window shutting soon as well. So there's going to be lots of activity and action in that as well. So it's all going on. So a very exciting time of the year. And let's talk of exciting. We're going to go to an exciting game. And I am going back to the absolutely well-renowned Naki Wells.
The Well. As it's the now, Well of Wells.
Yeah, the Well called Naki, as it's now called.
You've back handed to the keys back.
You've been very unlucky with your selections there. And I've decided to take the mantle on this week and have a go again myself. Looks and actually an odd bet based on stats because they're playing Blackpool. I'm going for over 2.5 goals at minus 107. Blackpool have only seen one of their games actually go over that line at the moment. But I've mentioned the eye test in the past. And hence why I've got the glasses on to make sure that they are working properly. Sometimes the stats don't quite tell the story that you need. We obviously use them as well. But I've seen a fair bit of Bristol City. I saw 90 minutes of them at the weekend when they beat Cardiff. I also saw extensive parts of Blackpool's game against Burnley as well. And it's led me to believe that I think there's going to be goals in this game. I was really impressed with how Blackpool responded last weekend. They obviously dropped two goals down inside 11 minutes at Burnley. Obviously a Burnley side that we're both very sweet on. We've put them up in the futures. We've put them up in more than one futures and we're not alone in that either. So to go to Turf Moor, obviously a very tough place to visit as an underdog and then find yourself two goals down inside 11 minutes is not a great place to be. They got a little bit of a David De Gea-style gift-wrapped goal back to get that back to 2-1 as Burnley effectively overplayed out of their box on more than one occasion and finally got punished. Corbin Yu with the finish. Player that I enjoyed watching in different spells last season, Sheffield Wednesday and MK Dons as well. So good to see him get his first goal for Blackpool. But still went in half-time, 3-1 down. As I say, is it one of those ones, as I say, as an underdog that you're thinking, well, maybe we'll go for a bit of damage limitation here. Burnley looked the stronger side. They had the dominance of the game. But Michael Appleton, obviously a manager that you are particularly fond of. You like him a lot and rightly so. got them together at half time, consolidated the situation, obviously came up with a game plan to go and actually attack Burnley and wrestle the initiative back, and indeed wrestle a point back, and it duly came about. Really impressed with the second goal. Jordan Gabriel on the right hand side, right back, had an opportunity, if anyone's seen the goal, to, there was a bit of contact outside the area, could have gone down, could have said, right, we'll take the free kick, let's see if we can get something from a set piece. But he drove into the box, had opportunities as well to give the referee an a question to answer there as well, but kept on his feet, trusted his ability, got to the byline, cut it back, and there was a tap in for Shane Lavery inside the six-yard box. And Jerry Yates repeated that trick only a couple of minutes later to get back to 3-3 and a fantastic result. And those players that I mentioned there bring a lot of talent and a lot of exciting attacking flair to this Blackpool side. And I've not even mentioned Josh Bowley yet, who obviously is now back in the fold, playing and playing well. Wasn't as heavily involved as the others in that particular game, but we know he's certainly got that in his armoury, and expect to see him come to the fore in this game against Bristol City. For them, back-to-back home wins, back-to-back 2-0 home wins as well. But I do expect a little kind of revert to type when they're travelling away, as they are here, obviously going to visit Blackpool. And I expect Blackpool to get chances in this, because it's Bristol City, and that's kind of what they do generally. Cardiff at the weekend, they're a different kettle of fish to most sides in this league, keeping it tight. They haven't got that cutting edge either. So I'm willing to kind of ignore that to a certain extent and expect this one to be a lot more open, a lot more exciting. I'm also expecting there's a possibility that Bristol City will take the lead here, and we could get a similar scenario as what we saw at the weekend with that 3-3 draw. Three of Bristol City's last four games have seen goals in the opening 6 minutes, believe it or not, which is quite a crazy stat. So something along those sort of lines will then obviously indicate we need a response from Blackpool. And also, when you consider that Bristol City have scored the first goal in 11 of their last 13 championship games, the odds on them actually do taking the lead in this one are quite high. This one actually ended 3-1 to Blackpool last season. So goals in the recent history. I like how both the sides are playing at the moment. They're both scoring goals. I think they've both got the capabilities to concede goals as well. So for me, over 2.5 goals, nice solid play at -107.
Love it. If you're going to do your overs bet first, I'll do my overs bet first. And This is going to might leave a few people scratching their heads, this one. So this is Cardiff versus Preston. Now, Preston in the Championship, their games so far this season, 0-0. 0-0, 0-1, 0-0, 0-0. Preston fans not getting their money's worth necessarily from their team. What am I doing? I am backing over 2.5 goals in their game against Cardiff at +148. Now, there is method to this madness.
The entertainers in the league, eh?
Hardly. There is method to this madness. Firstly, +148 is as big a price, I think, as you're going to see for an overs bet in the Championship. You know, normally you'll get unders being a shade of odds on, overs being a shade of odds against. But here you're getting near enough 6-4 about the overs. And I could understand that if Preston's underlying data matched up and mirrored the scoreline so far. I know some people don't love the data side of things, but I'm going to get stuck into the XG data here. So this is the expected goal stuff, which, you know, measures the quality of the chances that a team creates. And it's early days, but let's have a look at Preston. So far this season, Preston have created 4.48 expected goals in their game so far from open play alone. They've scored one of those, which was probably the lowest expected goals chance they've had so far. A ridiculous goal from Brad Potts. That Good comes one. From... Unbelievable goal. That's come from 53 shots. They've also taken 16 shots from set pieces. So from headers from corners or direct free kicks or whatever it is, accumulating an XG of 1.78. So over the course of the season so far, they've created well over 6 expected goals, yet they've only scored once. So I think we can anticipate that they're going to start scoring at some point. Ali Maxwell, who I do not the top 20 with, his analogy for this is like a ketchup bottle, you know, so you keep banging it, eventually they're going to come out. And I think that's the case with Preston, but not only are Preston due to score some goals. So far this season, Preston have conceded 0 goals in the league, no goals. But if you look at the underlying data again, they've actually conceded 3.09 expected goals from 39 shots. They've also conceded 22 shots from set pieces. conceding 1.49 expected goals. So there, over 4.5 expected goals conceded, they haven't conceded a goal yet. Something is going to give at both ends. You know, something is going to give. In my mind, it doesn't even have to be an open game here against Cardiff for this to revert to the mean. Eventually, a shot is going to go in. A keeper is going to make a mistake. This is not sustainable. So that's why I'm not too bothered that with Cardiff, we have got a side who don't create a great deal. Although their expected goals from open play isn't too bad, and they are a better team at home. And defensively, they are also kind of ranking lower mid-table over the course of what they're conceding. But I'm happy to, you know, they're actually the second best in the league for their defensive record. But as I say, this is more a case of if Preston's games continue to unfold the way they are at the moment, they should be high scoring and not low scoring. And I am punting on the data, as I always do, of it going to the mean. And as I say, I think that the price we're getting here reflects the score lines rather than what's actually going on in the games. I've also got a little side bet. This isn't one of my three, although I will certainly put it on the P&L if it comes in. And that is Romain Sawyers to score any time for Cardiff at plus 1,050. So a big old price, this one. He's also, I think, 22 to 1 to score first and score last. This is basically being priced up on where he's played in the past. He was a holding midfielder or a kind of metronomic deep-lying midfielder for Stoke, for West Brom. He's playing as a 10 so far for Cardiff. He's playing in an advanced midfield role, which is where he played for Brentford. It's where he played for Walsall back in the day as well. He scored on opening day. He's getting goal scoring opportunities. It's a price based on not the position he's playing in. The only concern is that he did come off fairly early in their last game, and I am worried he might get dropped. So keep an eye on that. But I think at the price we're getting, it's way too big a price not to have a half a point on. So a little extra tip there for you in that one.
Yeah, and he can score when he's not even attempting to score.
I know, when he's not even shooting.
Happy days. The very funny thing is, George, I was actually speaking to a mate of mine because we actually cashed on both teams to score no last week in the Preston game against Watford, yes. Didn't we? Which yes. Ended 0-0. But I was with my friend and I was like, we were talking about bets and so on and so forth, and said that was one forward. I said, one of these games soon is going to end 4-4 with Preston, yeah. Because it isn't sustainable that, like I say, that everything's going on. It's 0-0, 0-0, 0-0. It's just not going to continue. And when it breaks, it's going to, like, the dam's going to burst and it's suddenly going to be an absolute bonkers game. And everyone's going to go, where'd that come from? Let's hope it's this weekend. Yeah. It could well be. It's going to happen soon. Absolutely.
The last laugh's going to be on the people who back the 0-0 at about 4-1 and it cops again.
Absolutely right. Good.
Jack, what do you... Looking at your next selections, you've got another overs goal bet or you've got an Asian handicap. Which one are you going to go for?
I'm going to go with the Asian handicap. Let's mix it up a little bit. So enough of goals for now, although we hope that the home team scores some in this one. It's Millwall versus Reading, two of our good friends. And we've got Millwall minus 0.5. So I look forward to the DMs from the Reading fans who are unhappy at the moment, like Paul Ince is demanding.
They're busy with me, mate. I wouldn't worry. You'll be fine.
Yeah, taking the heat off me. Thanks very much. Yeah. So we've got Millwall minus 0.5 here at minus 122, which is a better price than just backing them to win, although it's the same bet. So make sure you get on the Asian handicap with this one to get the better price. I would say I was a little disappointed with Millwall's negative approach against Norwich last weekend, which feels a long time ago. It was actually only last Friday, but there's been so much action in between times. It just feels such a lot longer than that. But I'd be lying. I was disappointed about it, obviously, for more than one reason. But again, that was one of our other bets last week that we had Norwich to beat Millwall. So we've flipped it around this time. We want Millwall back on side. And the main reason for that is that they're no longer playing away from home. They're playing at home. I think, so last week, they had the issues, that they had the geographical issues start off with, as far as that they'd travelled from Swansea to Norwich, which is a trip that I have done. And I must admit, it's not one I'd advise or recommend. It wasn't the most enjoyable one. And so that impacted their training and so on and so forth. And you can see what Gary Rowett was going about it. He effectively rested a lot of his attacking players, saying they didn't have the minutes and the legs to do that. And effectively kind of tried to condense the game, I think, into like a 20-25 minute mini game at the end, where if he was still in it, he could try and snatch a point or get all three. It didn't quite work out that way, thankfully for us. But we said that, we said it last week for anyone that missed the podcast last week. Don't know how can you do such a thing, but it's a, they're definitely a Jekyll and Hyde side. We saw that last season. They had the third best home record in the Championship last season. They only picked up one fewer point than both Fulham and Bournemouth across the whole home games last season. So, and obviously Fulham and Bournemouth got automatic promotion. So shows you the kind of company they keep in as far as their home record is concerned. And obviously their away record, which is irrelevant for this particular bet this week, is a lot worse than that. Hence why they missed out on the playoffs. But you would expect to see those players coming back into the side for this one against a Reading side that we obviously expect, and many do expect, to fall away from their lofty position at the moment. One of the relegation favourites at the start of the season. Have picked up a couple of good home performances, but again, their away record is not very good. I think Millwall did look a completely different side when he did bring on Vogtslammer for his debut. I was impressed with him. I'm looking forward to seeing him getting some proper game time once he gets his fitness levels up. Fleming as well, Shackleton too. They just suddenly, they dominated the last sort of 15, 20 minutes. I know Norwich were already 2-0 up at that point in time, but even so, they wouldn't have wanted to have released that much kind of authority in the game, and they certainly did. So if those three start, which expect at least one or two of them to, then I'm very, very confident about this Millwall performance, but they've got that in their locker anyway. They're undefeated in 13 at the Den now, and they've won 10 of those 13 games also. So it's a fantastic home record. They've won 5 on the spin at home as well. And as far as Reading, let's say Inter's demanded they get a little bit of credit from the media. They're not getting it from me just yet. But so their form as far as away is concerned, they lost both away games so far this season. They lost 4-0 at Rotherham last time out, and it could have been a lot worse, Joe Lumley. But say that's a terrible result, of course, anyway. So losing both home and both away games, sorry, they've not scored. In fact, they've lost, including last season's last couple of games, they've now lost 4 successive away games and haven't scored in any of those 4. So it's not a great record away from home. Against the side, obviously, is very, very strong at home. Millwall did the double over Reading last season and didn't concede a goal in either of the games there either. So a strong indication there. In fact, they're unbeaten in the last 5 head-to-heads, winning 4 of them. So a confident selection here. I'm hoping Joe Lumley's back in the side because he was ineligible for the weekend victory over Middlesbrough due to being his parent club. So it's getting back in the side. But regardless of that, I'm very confident with this bet. Millwall minus 0.5 at odds of minus 122.
Absolutely love it. Next up for me, a pretty quick, simple one. I'm backing Baggies, West Bromwich Albion to beat Huddersfield away from home at minus 109. So a shade of odds on. Huddersfield have been very, very poor this season. We've seen some signs of life, I guess. Recently, they beat Stoke 3-1 at home in their last home game. And then they went to Norwich where they were 2-0 down early in the game, down to 10 men, and then kind of battled back a little bit to end the game 2-1. But Tom Lees is suspended for this one, a big defender for them, which is going to be a loss. And I'm still yet to see that Danny Schofield is the man to continue the job that Carlos Corberan did so well. And last time we saw a team of West Brom's ability coming to Huddersfield, they won 1-0, and that was Burnley on opening day. I think West Brom have been unlucky so far this season. We've seen them at times put in some really strong performances, including the 1-0 draw against Watford that they deserved to win. And then it was kind of felt like it was coming, a bit like the whole Preston conversation. Like eventually they were going to batter someone. I think the same can be said of Middlesbrough at the moment as well, which we'll get onto in a second. But the 5-2 win against Hull was finally the chances started going in and they made their dominance count. And I think if we see a repeat performance here from Baggies, I don't think Huddersfield will be able to live with them. I've got no doubt that West Brom will create the better chances and therefore they're good value at minus 109 to win this one on Saturday afternoon. Jack, I mentioned Borough there, and that's the way you're going for your final selection.
Yeah, and this one's a goals-based one. As you said, I'm shocked by Borough's start to the season, like I think many, many people are. If they fail to claim 3 points here, it's their worst winless start to a campaign since 1984. And only I can just about remember that. So that's how long ago it is. I think they've been punished by some small errors. The Reading game was a perfect example of that. the worst thing they've suffered from is just no cutting edge. But they had 73% of the ball against Reading, and lost 1-0. Obviously, they've got Marcus Force there now, which will likely help that situation. But they've finally managed to get a player over the line that they've been chasing for, probably 2 years, isn't it? I think Rodrigo Muniz is coming on loan from Fulham. Looked like they were going to sign him this time last year, and then he opted for Fulham, or for whatever reason, ended up at Fulham. They've now loaned him back to Middlesbrough. So we hope to see him effectively show why they've been chasing him for so long and hard. Wilder's been pretty protective of his players, saying, like we've done as far as like XG is concerned, performance is concerned, that the performance is there, the results aren't. For the first time this weekend just gone, he actually came out and gave him a little bit of a blasting. Late for his media engagements due to the fact that he said himself that he was in the changing room, giving them a bit of a dressing down. He said that they had no intensity, they had no ambition, they were slow, they were ponderous. So I'd expect to see, and he'll expect to see, a response from this Middlesbrough side. It's packed full of talent, lots of creativity. We've talked about the width that they've got through Isaiah Jones and through Giles on the other side as well. They've now added a more attacking threat as well. They've got the likes of Crooks in the middle as well. So they've got plenty in there to actually go out and cause teams a problem. And possibly could not handpick an opponent better than Swansea at the minute. They've only won one of their last 11. So, as I said, I'm going for goals because I think also that Swansea will be thinking we haven't got much of a better opponent to take on than the Middlesbrough at the moment, who are struggling. So I think both teams would be desperate for a win in this one. They'll both go for it. We know what we get with Swansea. They're going to play their football. They're going to try and dominate possession. They've had 68.7% of the ball on average this season so far. Only Burnley have had more of the ball than that. It's what they do with it, I think, is the problem. Away from home, it's only marginally less, 68.5% away from home, which is an incredible stat, just 0.2% down on their overall percentages. And say it's a case of what they do with it. No one's had more ball possession away from home than Swansea. Russell Martin's going to have to get them having, again, that cutting edge phrase, getting more cutting edge. But they've got with Pirou, who has yet to score this season, which is a surprise in itself. Obafemi up there with him as well, who's only got one goal, albeit the winner in their only win of the season. They contributed for 34 goals last season, and I think they're going to have to lick their lips about the fact of getting at this Middlesbrough side, who have shown a bit of frailty at the back as well. No side have conceded more goals in the first half than Middlesbrough's six. So again, we get an early Swansea goal here. We know what Swansea are like as far as their late defending is concerned. Your much beloved Oxford proved that in the cup, scoring from two down to end up winning that one 3-2. And we all know that Millwall came back with those two very, very, very late goals in the recent league game. So it looks like there's going to be goals in this to me due to a bit of frailty at the back and also with a bit more extra firepower and players that can go and produce some good talent on the pitch. This should be a good game, good football, with two sides who are desperate for a win to get themselves kickstarted and up the table. So I'm going for an over 2.5 goals bet at odds of -103.
Lovely stuff. Final stop in our Championship preview is another goal scorer bet. I mentioned we'll be talking about Sunderland Norwich, and I'm excited about this one. Josh Sargent to score anytime is +295. And that to me is massive value. Again, I think it's just a case where the guys making the price at BetRivers haven't been paying attention as to what Josh Sargent is doing at the moment. He scored three in his last two. Now, that in itself could be a bit trappy. You think, when someone who doesn't score many goals goes on a bit of a run, that probably isn't the time to then go and back them because things have to average out. But Sargent's playing up front. He spent much of last season playing wide in a three, with Teemu Pukki being the main man, the star striker. But Pukki's injury gave Sargent an opportunity, and it's an opportunity that he's taken with three goals in his last two. He scored twice last Friday night in the win over Millwall. He could have scored three times. He went very close to scoring a third as well. And given the form that he's in, there's absolutely no doubt in my mind that he will continue to start up front. Now, Teemu Pukki's price for this game is +132 to score any time. So there's discrepancy you're getting between those two players. Now, it's fair enough that Sargent's a bigger price. You know, Pukki's proven himself at this level to be as good as it gets in terms of being a goal-scoring number nine. But that price discrepancy is way, way too big. And it's being priced up as if, in a similar way to Sawyer's, as if Sargent is going to be playing wide rather than through the middle. And also what massively plays into our hands here is that Sunderland are the entertainers in the division. You know, they are one of the funnest teams to watch. They play two up front, they send men forward, and they're pretty porous defensively. So you'd think Norwich, with their attacking flair, should get plenty of chances in this game. Unlike, for example, Millwall, who Norwich played, who looked to frustrate. I think this should be a pretty open game, especially with Norwich playing away from home. There should be plenty of space in behind for Sargent to exploit. So a plus 295. I mean, Jack, you're a Norwich fan. You'll tell me if I'm wrong. Seems like a price that has to be taken before they cotton on.
Yeah, absolutely. He's full of confidence in a minute, which we know is a lethal commodity as far as a striker is concerned. And so he's got the opportunity to be playing through the middle. And word on the Norfolk streets suggests there might be a chance that Norwich match up a little bit with Sunderland, in which case he will be up front alongside Taimu Pukki, which, again, that wouldn't put me up. No, so it would only enhance that bet, the fact that they've got someone else to worry about as a front two. If they do go with the usual formation, then it will be Sargent starting. There's no way he can be dropped. And say he's in very good form, got that confidence. He'll want to keep that role because it's obviously the role that he joined the club for, essentially. And so looks a different player. So full of confidence, full of running, lots of energy, and starting to turn the crowd from being a little bit of against him to certainly for him now. Especially in the fact that they're playing Born in the USA once he's scored and got man of the match over the tunnel at the football club. So,
some Norwich fans posting USA flags. Is that going to be you next week? Because it would probably be me, actually, when I wake up on Saturday morning.
Yeah. I'll expect to see a photograph
on the East Coast. Break. And I see, I see he scored a brace. Into League One now. Jag, you've got the League One pick. I've got the League Two pick.
Yeah. League One, this is, again, one of our futures picks that we like the look of Sheffield Wednesday, anti-post. We couldn't see past them, really, as far as they were certainly going to be up there. They had a madness of an opening day. They drew 3-3 with Portsmouth. But since then, it's been certainly more of what we expected from them. They won five of the last six in all competitions. And of those five, they've won all five to nil. So really solid defensively, obviously scoring goals as well. Nothing I've seen since the start of that start of the season has put me off thinking that Sheffield Wednesday will be right up there, first, second. Can't see them say dropping too far away from that position throughout the course of the season. So their only blot so far this season was a defeat at Peterborough, who have started the season very well. We know they're one of the ones that we expect to see up there as well. So no real shame in that. But they did seem to lose the plot that night. It was a bit of a chaotic one. Red card after around about 30 minutes. Then Byers was substituted as a result of that to try to change of formation and tactics. And he had a meltdown. If you haven't seen it, check it out. While he reacts not too well at being substituted, to say the least. Interesting that Darren Moore kept the faith with him. Could have been one of them ones that he's given a little bit of a lesson and left out the side, but that faith was restored. He scored a cracking goal in the next game away at Bolton, so a very tough game. I think Moore's obviously sort of seen the bigger picture there and thought, well, yeah, he's a guy that we need on the pitch. And so that faith was restored, scoring a goal and helped in the bounce-back win a previously undefeated Bolton side. A very nice 2-0 win there. So, interesting that we mentioned like the likes of Swansea and so on, that having the ball and effectively not doing enough with it. With Sheffield Wednesday, it's the other way around. They only average 43.6% possession. So shows you that there's more than one way to win a game. So don't be too upset if we see Forest Green having more of the ball in this one. It's what you do with it that counts. Forest Green, obviously the opponents. We're taking Sheffield Wednesday on a minus one Asian handicap here at plus 102. I was surprised to be able to get on board at that kind of price. Forest Green are newly promoted. Steady start to the season. 4 points they picked up. The 3 points they got, the win was the first game of the season against newly promoted Bristol Rovers, obviously who they were in the same league as last year, won that league. Bristol Rovers snuck in on the last day, winning about 115-0 just to get through on goal difference. So no massive surprise that they actually managed to win that one. Draw against Lincoln. So, a fair result there. But the two results that have certainly kind of, I've drawn a line under are the defeats to Ipswich at home 2-1 and the defeat to Plymouth last weekend 3-0, where Plymouth looked very impressive. So two of the sides that we'd expect to see up in the certainly in the top seven, which they just couldn't quite live with. And that, I think, would probably be how I see Forest Green doing well against the sides in that bottom half, but falling short against the sides at the top end. And Sheffield Wednesday are without a doubt one of those sides, certainly. So happy to take this on a minus one, say plus 102.
There you have it. Wednesday against Forest Green, I agree. I feel like Forest Green deserves some easier games soon because that's a few tough fixtures, not made any easier playing Brighton in midweek as well in the Carabao Cup. Into League Two, it's a pretty short price, this one, but I think they should win. It's Bradford at minus 125 at home to Crewe. Bradford under Mark Hughes are starting to hit their straps at this point now, beating Hartlepool 3-1 in a pretty dominant display last weekend. And they host a Crewe side, I should say, who, you know, going back to the old, my favourite XG data, they are massively overperforming their XG. Crewe have scored 8 goals this season from under 3 expected goals total. So you can see there, it's unlikely, I think, Crewe are going to continue that scoring rate. And Bradford have the best defence in the division when it comes to expected goals against, only 1.19 conceded in open play. So in my mind, Bradford should have no problem at all keeping Crewe out. They're a pretty good attacking force as well. Andy Cook in decent form. They've been backed over the last couple of days, which is frustrating, but I still think there's a bit of juice in the price there at minus 125. And they're my best bet in League Two.
Fraudulent slip there was to mention Hull, of course, which is purely because you've got a Stupinan in your head.
I know. Well, I hope that
he scored 4 in the last 2 games and is now top of the goal scoring charts in the Championship.
Yeah. So even if I get a couple of tips wrong, sometimes we get things right. Stop the clock, stop the count. There we go. Thank you very much to Jack for sharing his thoughts as ever on the Championship show here. As I say, do check out the Bet Rivers Network YouTube channel and subscribe to that. And do comment on this show as well. Leave us a review. Let us know what you think of our picks and of the show itself. And you can find the show as well on any podcast provider too. Make sure you check out the app Because We Win Twitter feed as well, where all the sports handicappers share their thoughts ahead of the weekend sport. So many good shows. Do go and check them all out over the course of the weekend on the network as well. And of course, check out the Bet Rivers site for all of your betting needs across all sports over the weekend and next week too. I am going to be away next week. So Jack is going to be joined by the man, the myth, the legend, the legendary Nigel Seeley, who will be taking my spot. I'll be on a golf course somewhere on the east coast of America, so don't worry about me too much. And that will be early next week ahead of the midweek Championship games. But I'll be back with Jack next weekend as well for the weekend stuff. So go well. Best of luck. Please do ensure you're gambling responsibly and enjoy the football.